as only you can, God. By the power of your Spirit, God, give me grace to minister your word with the gift that you've given me, that you might be glorified, God. God, this evening, have your way in Jesus' name. And everybody said, give the Lord a big praise offering in this place tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, we can do better than that. Amen. Praise the Lord. As you remain standing, amen, I'm going to invite you to open up your Bibles to my favorite book in the Bible, the book of Mark. And if you would, turn with me to the 14th chapter, amen. How many enjoyed your Easter holiday, amen? Blessed. Mark chapter 14. I was fortunate this Easter to have my children and my grandchildren come over to the house on Sunday afternoon. And it was a good time, amen, to have them there. We made dinner for them. We ate, and then my three-year-old granddaughter wanted to have an Easter egg hunt, so we did that once. Then she wanted to do it again, so we did it again, and then she wanted to do it a third time, and I said, wait a minute, that's enough. Enough of these hiding of the eggs and you finding them. I think we've run out of places to hide them, so we stopped it at that. But at the end, after my children went home, my daughter sent me a text, and she said, thank you, Dad. And I said, no, well, thank you. You know, I'm glad that you guys were able to come over. And then she texted me and she said, Layla, my three-year-old granddaughter, says that she wants to go to Grandpa Mark's house all the time. So that was like the icing on the cake for me for all the weekend's events, amen, just hearing that, because there was a time in my life not so long ago that my daughter didn't want me anywhere near her, much less near her children. There was a time in my life where my whole family had said, you know what, Dad, until you get it together, we don't want nothing to do with you. But because of the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ, God is able to turn all those situations around. Amen. Mark chapter 14, we're going to start reading this evening in verse 3. And this is the word of the Lord. It says, and being in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. And she broke the flask and poured it on his head. And there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why has this fragrant oil wasted? Or why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor, and they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Now check out verse 9. Jesus is saying, assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Go ahead and take your seat. Last Friday, at our life group, Brother Gary shared a passage of scripture very similar to this. It's the same account in a different part of the Bible for the offering that he received that evening. And as I was reading it, I started thinking there's so much to this portion of scripture. There's so many things that are going on. I told him, you know what, Brother Gary, I'm going to have to steal that message from you and use it when I speak at church, because there's so much going on it, especially in verse 9. Because the Bible says that Jesus told everyone there that the action that this woman had taken was going to be preached right alongside the Bible, or right alongside the message of salvation, everywhere in the world. You know, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, where it gives the account of David going up against the giant Goliath, that when David was confronted on the battlefield with the giant Goliath, he told Goliath, "This day, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to chop off your head, and I am going to feed your carcass to the birds of the air. And the whole world will know," so that the whole world would know that there is a God in Israel. Do you know that the story of David and Goliath is one of the most repeated stories in all the world? Every culture, every continent has a form of the story of David and Goliath. It's always a story about somebody going up against uncountable odds. It's always about the little guy going up against the giant. It's always about one person going up against corporate America. It's always about the little guy going up against people that are in power or governments. And it is a story that one person can make a difference. And it's repeated all over the world in different cultures and in different countries. And David said that everybody in the world was going to know that story. Well, here Jesus is telling the disciples and those that are in within earshot of what he's saying, that this same story is going to be repeated throughout the world. And I thought to myself, well, what is so significant about this story that is prompting Jesus to make such a statement like this? But more than that, I started to think about our own personal lives. And will the story of our lives ever be repeated in other parts of the state, in other parts of the country, in other parts of the world? Because God has done a work in our lives. But is the life that we are living significant enough that it makes a difference in somebody else's life? Is the life that we are living significant enough so that people talk about, not about us, but what God has done in our lives? Is our life a living testimony or a demonstration of the power of God that people can see in us the true miracle-working power of Jesus Christ? Or do we just fade into the crowd like everybody else? You see, I think that what is interesting about this story is, first of all, where it takes place. The where it happens, what happens, and who the person is that is interacting with Jesus. Now, the Bible says that they are in Bethany, and they are at the house of Simon the leper. Now, that in itself is a very strange event. Because if you remember from the New Testament and the Old Testament, nobody in their right mind would be anywhere near a leper. Nobody would come close to a leper because they were unclean and they were not welcomed in the temple, or they were not welcome anywhere near normal people. But the Bible says that Jesus and his disciples found themselves in the house of Simon the leper. Which leads us to believe in something that we should already know, that Jesus is not a respecter of persons. Jesus does not come to heal those that are already healed. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus makes it a habit of going out of his way to reach the outcasts, the rejects of society. He goes out of his way to reach the people that nobody wants anything to do with. He went out of his way to reach us. Can you say amen? When nobody wanted us around, when nobody thought that there was hope for us, when the prison system had deemed us incorrigible, when people said that there was no help for people such as we, when people thought that there was no way that we could change, when even our own families had given up hope, Jesus went out of his way to look for us, to bring us into the house of God, to change us, transform us, and demonstrate his miracle-working power. That's what Jesus does. He goes out of his way to the places where the rejects of society are, to let them know that he loves them just the same as he does to other people. It's significant that he was in this place when this is taking place. You see, Mary the woman that is identified in this portion of Scripture and in the other accounts in the Gospel is the sister of Martha. Mary and Martha are both the sisters of Lazarus. Not only are they the sisters of Lazarus, but in one account, it tells us that Mary and Martha are the daughters of Simon the leper. So in this family that Mary is a part of, she has a father that is a leper. Not only does she have a father that is a leper, but she has a brother that dies and Jesus raises from the dead. She grew up in a dysfunctional family because her father was ostracized from the community because of the sickness that he had. She grew up with some complexes just like many of us. Can you say amen? Many of us grew up with complexes because your father was in jail or in prison or was an alcoholic or was a drug addict. We felt out of place. We felt like we weren't normal. We felt like something was wrong with us because we weren't the same as the normal people in our neighborhood. I grew up without a father. My dad was always in prison. So when it was time for your father to show up at school for any kind of event, for any kind of presentation, he was never there. My mother was an alcoholic. She was never there. So I grew up with complexes, thinking that I was different, that there was something wrong with me because my home life was not like that of other people. Am I alone here this evening? We grew up with complexes. We grew up feeling inferior because of the lifestyle that we led in our homes and the things that were going on in our houses. You see, Mary grew up in this type of home. But one thing I want to point out about Mary is that this is not her first encounter with Jesus Christ. If we read about her story, there was an occasion where Jesus came to their house. And Mary and Martha were both there. And Jesus was teaching. Martha was getting food ready because she wanted to prepare food to feed their guests. But Mary was seated at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. And Martha, being a little bit upset, told Jesus, "Why don't you tell Mary to help me?" And he said, "Leave her alone. She's doing what she needs to do. You handle your own business." Because she was there listening to the teaching of Jesus Christ. Later on, Jesus goes back to their house because their brother Lazarus is dead. And it was there that Mary firsthand saw the miracle working power of Jesus Christ in her own family. Mary saw Jesus raise her brother that had been dead for a few days and saw him walking out of a tomb. The same man that she had buried, the same man that she thought that was dead, her own brother that she had given up hope that he would ever live again. She saw him walking out of the tomb like a live person, knowing that Jesus had brought him back from the dead. She had witnessed the miracle working power of God with her own two eyes. And on this third visit, she's there and Jesus is in her house. And she does something really strange. She brings an alabaster box with very expensive perfume. Now, the Bible tells us that the people around were mad because they said it could have been sold for 300 denarii. Now, a denarii would be the equivalent of one day's wages. So let's take, for example, you're making $8 an hour. You work an 8-hour shift, you do that for 300 days, you make something like $19,200. That's what she had in the box. That was the value of the perfume and the ointment that she had in her hands. So when she walks into the room, everybody sees the box. And they recognize that that is a very unique box. It is a very special box. It is a box that is made specifically to preserve and to keep expensive perfumes and expensive ointments inside of the box. So when they see her walking out with it, they couldn't help but think, what is she going to do with that? And as soon as she gets close enough to Jesus, she does the unthinkable. She breaks the box and allows the ointment and perfume to fall upon Jesus. Why would she do something like that? Why would she allow something so expensive to just be poured out on Jesus. Well, the two other encounters that she had with him give us a little bit of insight as to where Mary was in her relationship with God. What her understanding of who Jesus was. You see, when Mary was sitting there listening to the teaching of Jesus, she was paying attention. When she was seated at the feet of Jesus, when he was talking about what his purpose on earth was, how he had come to give his life as a ransom, how he was going to be the sacrifice and the atonement for his sin, she was paying attention. And on the second interaction that she had with Jesus, she witnessed firsthand that he was the resurrection and the life, and that he could call the things that were dead back to life. She recognized that he wasn't just an ordinary man. He wasn't an ordinary prophet. He just wasn't a teacher. She recognized that he was the Son of God, and that everything that he said was going to come to pass. You see, a lot of times we listen to the teaching of Jesus. Sometimes we even see the miracles in our own lives, but we still don't believe that Jesus is who he says that he is. Sometimes as Christians, it's easier for us to believe God for other people than it is to believe for ourselves. We will tell everybody that God can help them, but when we're in trouble, we start to doubt that God can help us. We tell people out there in the world that are lost, that are hurting, that Jesus loves them, that Jesus can forgive them, but we can't believe that Jesus can forgive us, and we fall into condemnation and separation from God. But the Bible says that she came to Jesus and she broke it, and the ointment and the perfume fell upon Jesus. Let's talk about that alabaster box for a little bit. It was unique. It was different. But it contained something valuable. The ointment was used ceremonial to prepare people for burial when they were dead. But that same ointment was used in the temple in the form of incense to worship God. So not only was it valuable because of its use, but it was also had some religious significance. And inside that box was this valuable, beautiful, smelling, aromatic perfume. But before it could be dropped upon Jesus, that box needed to be opened. It needed to be broken. You see, many of us, all of us here tonight, are like that alabaster box. We're unique on the outside. We probably wouldn't win any beauty contests or GQ contests. We're unique in our own ways. But every one of us have a beautiful gift inside of us. Every one of us, regardless of what we might look like on the outside, regardless of the scars that we have accumulated because of the lifestyle that we've lived, have a beautiful gift inside of us. Something that God wants to use in His service. Something that the Lord wants to use to help other people come to know Jesus. But we need to break the alabaster box that prevents us from releasing everything to Jesus. You see, all of us come, God calls us with a reason and a purpose. God has a plan for our lives, and He brings us to the ministry of Victory Outreach. But many of us refuse to break the box and unleash the anointing that God has in our lives because we're scared of so many different things. You see, for Mary, this alabaster box and its contents symbolized her future. She had saved for that. That was money in the bank. That was her security. That's what she had to live on. If times got tough, she could always go back to that and she could sell it and make enough money to get her by. And now she's willing to risk her future, her security, everything that she owns, everything that she has to anoint the King of Glory, to anoint Jesus because He's there at their house. She was willing to break it. She was willing to let go of everything and bring it to Jesus and say, Jesus, the most valuable thing that I have, I give it to you because you deserve it. I have seen your miracles. I know that you are the Son of God. I've heard your teaching. I know that you're the resurrection. So everything that I have, I give it to you, Jesus. But what happened? There was people there that started ridiculing her. How could Mary do that? And you know what's worse? Is that the people that were doing that were some of Jesus' disciples. And it wasn't so long ago that they were the same men that gave up their careers in fishing, that gave up their homes, that gave up their livelihood, that gave up their jobs as tax collectors to go and follow Jesus. But after being with Jesus for a few years, all of a sudden they got dignified. All of a sudden they got religious. All of a sudden they got institutionalized. All of a sudden they're more practical. They're more refined. They're more dignified. And when they looked and they saw what Mary was doing, they said, how could she do that? And they forgot where they had come from. They forgot what they had given up. They forgot the sacrifices that they made early on in their service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that for a lot of us, myself included, sometimes we forget. All of a sudden, we get all conservative. And all of a sudden, we're standing in the front row and we're looking at other people jumping and dancing and say, well, maybe they shouldn't do that. That's not very dignified in the house of God. And we forget when we were in the home and God got a hold of our lives that we would jump and we would clap and we would shout and we would spin and we would run and we didn't care who was watching and we didn't care what people said. We were going to praise the Lord. We were going to worship God because we were so thankful for what God had done in our lives. Then all of a sudden you have enough money to buy a suit and you don't want to jump or dance anymore. When I first came into the home and I got saved and God got a hold of my heart, me and a brother named Ray, we would go downtown. On 4th and Central, there used to be a Walgreens. And there was like a little flower thing or whatever, flower bed. And we would take turns during lunchtime when people are walking back and forth. We would take turns jumping on there and just start to preach the message of salvation to anybody that would listen. We were not embarrassed. We were not ashamed. We were not afraid to stand in front of the public and let them know that God had changed and transformed our lives and that the same God that did that for us could do it for them. But then years later, are we still as brave and bold to do the things that we used to do when we first gave our lives to Jesus? You see, after a while, the disciples had been with Jesus and they got a little bit of fame. They got a little bit of notoriety. They were known as Jesus' guys and like, oh man, those are the guys that are with Jesus. And all of a sudden, they started walking a little bit different. All of a sudden, they weren't jumping and dancing like they used to at the beginning. All of a sudden, they're worried about what's going to happen to the money. We could have used that money to feed the poor. And it's like, check this out. When I was in church years back, I'm not going to tell you when, but years back, I'm sitting in church and they're picking up the offering. And I hear a voice in my heart, not in my head, in my heart, that tells me, give everything that you have on you. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. It's only Wednesday night and I gotta wait till Friday when I get paid. I ain't got that much money. I need gas money. My kids might need some diaper money. I really don't know how much money I'm gonna need, so I can't really give it all. That's not practical. That's not being a good steward. All of a sudden I wanna get all theological with Jesus. And he says, give it all. And as I'm arguing with this voice in my heart, the basket is quickly approaching. So it's like, Mark, you got to make a decision here quick. What are you going to do? So I reach into my pocket and I pull out everything that I have and I put it in the basket and I say, okay, God, whatever you want. Immediately after the service, a brother comes up to me and says, you know what? I did really good with Yahoo stock. He had invested in Yahoo and he had made all kinds of money. He goes, the Lord told me to give you this amount of money. And it was way more money than I had put in the offering, let me tell you. But that's how it was early on. And now, instead of encouraging people to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we're telling them, well, you got to think about this. You can't be giving all your money to the Lord. You got to budget for your bills and you got to think about this and you got to think about that. Well, I don't know about all that. Because the Bible tells me that the flowers, they don't go to Ross or Burlington looking to clothe themselves. God takes care of them. The Bible tells me that the birds ain't tripping, standing in line at Walmart, waiting for specials to happen for them to get food. The Bible says that God takes care of them. And if God is able to take care of the birds and the flowers in the field, how much more is He able to take care of us? I dare you to outgive God. I have yet to meet an individual that has told me that they have been able to outgive God. On the contrary, every person that I talk to that is faithful in their giving has a testimony of how much more God is able to bless them than they're able to give to God. You see, these guys were all dignified, all sophisticated already. I'll get it right one day, Sister Lena. I'll get it right. They were all sophisticated. And they didn't want to think back to when they first came to know Jesus. They were worried about how they look now. They said, we got to take care of the poor. All of a sudden, they're concerned about the poor. But what did Jesus tell them? The poor you're always going to have. You're always going to have an opportunity to do those things. But what is important is what's happening right now. You see, what's important when we come to church, when we come to the house of God, is what God is trying to do in our lives now. You see, what Mary did is she seized the moment. She knew that Jesus was there. She knew, she perceived that He was going to give His life as a ransom for all of mankind. She said, this is my opportunity to anoint the King before He goes to the cross. I'm taking advantage of this opportunity. I'm seizing the moment. I'm doing what I need to do right now because I might not get another chance. And that needs to be our mentality in our service to the Lord. We need to take advantage of every opportunity. When we come to church, every church service is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to hear from God. It's an opportunity for us to worship God. It's an opportunity for us to draw closer to the Lord. It is an opportunity that we need to seize, because what if we don't get another opportunity? Every time that we get an opportunity to give, we have to seize the moment. We have to take advantage of that opportunity because we might not get another moment. And the blessing that God wants to pour out upon your life is dependent on your willingness to take advantage of that opportunity. We've heard the testimonies of men and women who have given resurrection seeds that have given to the work of God and how God has blessed them because they've seized the moment. They've taken advantage of the opportunity and God has rewarded them because of that. The Bible says that she anointed Jesus with what was most precious to her. She had a gift to give to Jesus. And she took advantage of that opportunity to give the Lord that gift. What about us? Are we taking advantage of every opportunity that we get to give the gift that we have inside of us to the Lord Jesus Christ? All of us have gifts. I remember when I was young, one of the favorite things When I was little, I thought my name was Noah until I was like 6 years old and went to school and they told me my name was Mark because everything my mom told me was no. No, 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 don't do that. No, 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 no. So I didn't find out my name was Mark until I went to school and they told me your name's Mark. The other thing that I was always told growing up was that I had a big mouth. That was my mom's favorite thing to tell me. You have a big mouth. Well, when I got saved and God started using me to preach the gospel, I told my mom, Mom, you were right. I do have a big mouth. And now God is using it for His honor and for His glory. Now God is using that to bring people to know Jesus Christ. We all have gifts. Whether it's talking, whether it's music, whether it's singing, whether it's the ability to talk to somebody, convince somebody. We're all here because God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. But what is holding us back from breaking that alabaster box and giving everything to the Lord? You see, we sometimes fall into the trap of just giving certain things to God. But we don't give everything that is most valuable to God. And what's most valuable to every single person in this place is our heart. And it's hard for us to give our heart totally and completely to Jesus. Why? Because we've been burned in the past. We've been burned by parents. We've been burned by relationships. We've been burned by other people. We've been lied to. We've been cheated. We've been manipulated. We've been swindled. All those things. So we have guarded that which is most precious to us. We have built an alabaster box around our heart. And we refuse to break it for anybody. We refuse to pour it out for anybody because just like Mary, we're scared we're going to get ridiculed. We're scared that somebody's going to say, what are you thinking? What are you doing? You shouldn't be doing that. And we walk around with this beautiful gift that we're never really releasing to the Lord. The Bible says that Jesus told everybody in attendance there that her testimony, her action that day was going to be repeated wherever the gospel was preached throughout the world. It was that significant. Our lives and our willingness to offer our heart to Jesus in worship is just as significant. Because there is no limit to what God can do in the life of an individual that totally surrenders their heart completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no limit to what God can do in your life, in your family, what God can do in your ministry that He's called you to. There is no limit to where God can take you or what He can use you to do if you'll just break the box and let it go. Bring your whole heart to Jesus in worship. Bring your whole heart, all of your life. Break down the barriers, break down the walls, be vulnerable and allow God to take that gift that is in your heart and use it for His honor and for His glory. I don't think for a moment that Mary, in this portion of Scripture, regretted her actions that day. I don't think for a moment that she ever thought back and said, I shouldn't have done it. I believe that every day for the rest of her life, she was glad that she did. She was glad that she took advantage of the opportunity and allowed the most valuable possession that she had to be poured out as an anointing, a fragrant oil on the head of Jesus Christ. Close your eyes with me all over this place tonight. Lord, we love You this evening because of Your grace, because of Your mercy, and because of Your love, God. God, we worship You. Because You are the Son of God and the Savior of the world. We worship You this evening, Lord, because You're worthy to be worshipped, Lord. Every individual that is in this place tonight, God, has a gift, has a calling, has a plan and a purpose that You have for them, God. And many times we hold back on giving You our all, God. I pray that tonight, God, by the power of Your Spirit, God, You would minister to our hearts. God, for those that have not yet totally surrendered to You, God, that tonight would be their moment, God. that they would seize the moment, God, and take advantage of the opportunity to do so, God. God, and maybe some of us here tonight are like those disciples, God, that have forgotten what it was like when we first got saved, that we were willing to do anything, that we were willing to make any sacrifice for you, Lord. God, forgive us for allowing ourselves to go down that path where we think that we're too proper or too dignified, God, to do the things that we used to do, Lord. Move by the power of your Spirit, God, as only you can, Lord. Your word says that it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by your Spirit, God. It's not because of persuasion, God, or eloquence of speech. It's simply by your Spirit, God. Only you can do this in our lives, Lord. If you're here this evening and you've been stirred in your heart to say, you know what, tonight's the night, I'm going to surrender everything to Jesus. I'm breaking that alabaster box in my heart and allowing Jesus to take full control of my life. I want you to come from all over this place. Find a place at this altar. Mm-hmm.